church this morning. Abraham's going to have a big group this morning. And we have nursery also. If you want to take the little ones in there, you can keep them in here. I'm good with either one. Turning your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I want to tell you, the first time that I stepped foot into Crossbridge was May 17th, I believe it was the 17th, of 2015. And the first sermon I ever preached here was May 17th of 2015, and I preached on these verses. And that first Sunday I was here, we had about 40 people here. And we preached on those verses because we wanted to, we wanted to see if we're going to grow the kingdom, what does the local church, what is the church, what should we be doing? And when I say church, I want you to know I'm talking to us. I'm not talking about the building, we're talking to us. We're talking to each individual person here who has made a profession of faith, is a follower of Christ, and has joined membership here and said, I want to be a part of this body and I want to grow the kingdom here and I want to serve here. And so here we are 2 years later, and I don't know, we have well over 150 today now, and that mission has not changed. It can't change. And so I want to make sure that we're going to, over the next several weeks, I think, we're going to be talking about the local church and its mission, what the mission is as a local church, what do we need to be doing, diligently doing, and what do we need to watch out for? Because there's quite a few warnings in Scripture to the local church about what they're doing good, but what they need to watch out for and what they're doing wrong. And I want to talk real quick about what our vision should be as a church. I mean, for you all that don't know, we have purchased land. We've bought 8.5 acres of land. As you look around, I know you don't have a lot of elbow room, right? And it's not about our comfort, but we just don't. And so we've purchased 8.5 acres of land. We're in the process of paying for that. It's over on Banning and CC. Our goal, soon as we possibly can, is to build a bigger facility because we want to continue to reach people for Christ. When we get to the point where we're too full in here and we don't have a new building, we'll talk about going to two services and having Sunday school in between. We may get there, and I'm okay with that. But what we have to do is maintain that our relationships in here, and they give us an outline here. I mean, in the early church, in these verses, they had a vision. They had some things that they knew they had to do, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. So, but what is our vision here at Crossbridge? And I've been thinking about this a lot, and I came up with this, and like I told our elders this morning, hey, this is not some fancy statement, okay, with all sorts of cool catchphrases, because I'm just not that kind of guy. Here it is. This is my vision for Crossbridge, is bring the lost to the saving knowledge of Jesus. It's not our job to save them. It's our job to give them the knowledge of how to be saved. So bring the lost to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Disciple new believers into productive Christians. Exactly what you saw is happening up here this morning with two guys going through discipleship. And be a shining light of Christ in the dark world. So be somewhere that our community can look to and say, you know what, they are a picture of hope in Christ in the community. And so, you know, a lot of this stuff, guys, requires our service, and it requires us to jump in and pitch in, and we're going to be talking about this morning. But hopefully you're there by now. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And here's a good outline. This first verse is really what we're going to focus on today, but here it is. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Wow. Day by day, people were being saved, brought into the kingdom, and the church was growing. I mean, it's vastly growing. Guys, we're at a point right now, as a church congregation size, I want to share with you some numbers. 80% of Protestant churches, and this is not even covering Baptist or Southern Baptist churches, 80% of Protestant churches have 100 or fewer members. Another 15% of Protestant churches have roughly 200 or less. And only 5% of Protestant churches have 200 or more members. Why? Why? And there's some basic questions that we need to ask. If we want to keep growing and we want to keep reaching more people for Christ, we have to keep Acts chapter 2, verse 42 in particular. We have to never get away from that. We're going to have more structure as we continue to grow. I talked to our elders about this morning. We're going to have more people volunteer in the youth group, in the kids department. We're going to have leaders underneath leaders. That's just the way it's going to be, but we can never get away from these four basic principles. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at warnings in Scripture that warn the church. If you do this, church, bad things are going to happen. We're going to look at that. And as we're going through this, I want to make sure that you understand that you are the church. When I say the church, I don't want you thinking that I'm talking about the person next to you or the row behind you or some universalist church. When I'm talking to the church, I'm talking to everybody that's sitting here right now that's a follower of Christ. And so as we go through these things, I'm going to tell you this is going to be challenging stuff. You're going to be challenged this morning. But Acts chapter 2 tells us about the launching of the church. And Scripture says that before this, 3,000 people were saved and baptized. So the church is flourishing. And within 3 years of this, the church starts to see a lot of persecution. James was executed. Peter was jailed. Philip was stoned to death. And you would think that with that kind of persecution, the church would die or fade away. And yet it thrived. It thrived, and it was doing great. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it basically tells us that. It says it was growing and thriving all over the world. Everywhere the church is growing and thriving. And even the enemies of the church declared in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, these men, this is what they say, these men have turned the world upside down. Can you imagine if people talked about Crossbridge Baptist Church in Marshfield, that we have turned the community upside down for Christ. Turned it upside down, that we're reaching people. So they're growing, they're producing fruit, they're thriving. Even in the face of persecution, the church is growing. Why? Why? Well, you have to get back to the basic thing that this church, the church committed themselves to. And that's found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So go back to that verse. There were four things that the church did and four things that the church was extremely devoted. Scripture says they were devoted to. Now I want to go over the definition of devoted. It means very loving or loyal, given over to display, study or discussion of. The synonyms of devoted are faithful, consistent, committed, dedicated. So they were dedicated, they were sold out, they were all on board to four things. And here they are. The first one is the apostles' teaching. Well, what is the apostles' teaching? Well, you're holding it in your hands right now. It's Scripture. It's the Bible. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching in the Bible. Back in the early church, the teaching of the apostles was job number one. In fact, one of the things we're going to talk about in the coming weeks is in Acts chapter 6, they're creating a problem because there was a daily distribution of food where they would take care of widows. And the apostles were starting to get, there started to be some problems in how they were distributing food. And all these people were coming to the apostles and saying, fix this problem. And the apostles said in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, it says, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. And that's when they started the first deacons. That's when they called the first deacons into the church. So the deacons could be servants. So here at Crossbridge, with how we have leadership and structure set up, we have a group of elders of this church that are the spiritual teachers and leaders of the church. And that's exactly what our job should be. It's not that our job is better than somebody else's job. It's just that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to teach. And if our time gets consumed by other things, we got a problem. There's going to be a problem. Because the word's not going to be getting taught or preached because we're dealing with other stuff. So we have to make sure that we have time. And I want to tell you, this is a challenge for our size church right now. And this is why. Because you get a big congregation, and the members start thinking that, well, he's the pastor, let him do it, or he's one of the elders, let him do it. They got time to do it. But right now, guys, I want to tell you, I have a full-time job, too. Now, I'm not a full-time pastor here. All right, so I want to make sure we understand that. I'm not trying to go for a pity party and say, oh, woe is me. That's just the way it is right now, okay? And so what does that mean? That means that we have to have more members step up in certain areas. And one of those was brought to my attention this week. Here's the thing. I would love, every time somebody goes to the hospital, I would love to be able to go see them. Every time somebody's sick, I would love to be able to go see them. Unfortunately, there's no way that I can do that. I have a full-time job. I have four beautiful, wonderful kids that I have to raise before I raise you, okay? And that's just the way it is. And there's no way I can do that. So here's the thing. So what does that mean? That means that, and I had an idea this week that was brought to my attention. A lady in our church who is homebound, who's retired, she can't be here a lot. She said, Jeff, how can we help you with hospital visits and the sick? And she said, how about we form a team? And that team will send out letters and cards when somebody's sick. Or we can go to the hospital and help make a visit on behalf of the church. And we can volunteer. And that lady's name is Judy, and I really appreciate her. And I said, Judy, would you head that up? She said, yes. So if you would like to help do that, this is an opportunity that you can volunteer to help do that. You get a hold of me, and I will put you in contact with Judy. And we're going to get that going. Why? Because I can't take, if I'm at the hospital on Tuesday night when I should be studying God's word to present it to you, it's wrong, and we're not going to flourish. So we have to make sure that we have things in order, right? So when we start talking about the apostles' teaching, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to learning about God's word. They were devoted to scripture. Now that can make us ask some questions this morning of ourselves. Are you devoted to listening and learning God's word? Are you devoted? Or, hey, I mean, here's the deal, guys. I'm loud, and I try to run around a little bit, but I've seen churches where people are falling asleep in the service, literally. Like, and you know what they're doing? They come to church, and I'm going to fall asleep because I'm checking off my weekly check of going to church. And I really don't want to learn anything. I'm just there because if I don't, my wife is going to beat me at home. She's dragging me there, and I'm going to be in trouble if I'm not there. But I'm going to be asleep. That is not devoted. That's not being devoted. Are you devoted to making sure your kids are in Sunday school and learning about God's word? Are you devoted? As a parent, listen to me. It's your responsibility to make sure your kids know about God's word. In my house, if I see that my kids aren't spending time in the word, I get after them. Because that's my responsibility. When they turn 18, if they decide they don't want to read scripture, they can make that decision. But until then, it's my responsibility to make sure they are devoted to being taught. Exactly like Bible drill. Let me say this morning that Bible drill should not be an option in your house. You shouldn't even give your fourth grade, right, a choice whether they study the Bible or want to learn it or not. If you want to play basketball in my house, you're going to do Bible drill. If you don't want to do Bible drill, you're not going to play basketball. You know why? Because Bible drill is more important than basketball. Bible drill should be the most important thing that we're trying to teach our kids. Why? Because they have that lifelong value. But what we do, I mean, what we do, and I used to do, and I can speak from experience. You know what just started today? What started last week on Sunday mornings? Oh, yeah. Football started, right? I mean, football started. Now, lucky for you guys that we have church from 10 to 11. Not usually 11. Sorry. Why? Because we're not going to worry about the time. We're going to preach God's word. We're going to teach. But here's what happens. If something that's on TV are more important in your life, you will leave or you will miss in order so you don't have to worry. Hey, apostles teaching God's word, learning God's word, it's secondary. And there was that time in my life where, hey, I'm a Broncos fan. I'm sorry, Chiefs fans, don't rush home today because the Eagles are going to win, okay? But listen, I'm a Broncos fan. And there was a time in my life, listen to me, when I would get up and leave at 11:30. The church I attended had church from 11 to 12. If Denver was on TV at noon, I would leave at 11:30. You know why? Because I wasn't dedicated to God's word. I didn't want to learn. I wasn't devoted to it. I had to get real with myself and say, you know what? What's important to me? Am I taking notes? I begged you guys for 3 weeks, in a row, take some notes on evangelism. Did you take notes? Did you take notes on how to share the gospel? That's what I'm talking about. Making sure you're there isn't important. Because listen, parents, I know we got a young church. If it's not important to you, it's not going to be important to your kids. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, why are my kids lost? Why are my kids don't know Christ? That's because you didn't make it a priority in your life. If something was better to do, I'm there. Hey, not just because I'm the preacher. Before I was the preacher, my kids knew that on Sunday morning we were going to church. My kids knew that on Wednesday night we're going to church. And if more Christian families, let me say this, if more Christian families would just say, you know what? We're not worrying about basketball practice. We're not worrying about football practice. Because I don't think any of our kids are going to play in the NFL. You know what? They are going to be on the team and play in God's army. And if we worried more about that than sports, we would literally change this world and this community upside down. And you know, it's a simple thing to ask yourself about teaching and reading God's word. It's a simple way to do it. How much time do you spend doing it? If your overwhelming time is spent doing what you want to do, hopefully what you want to do is read God's word. But if it's spent in other stuff, that means you're just not really devoted to doing it. So are you devoted? Are we devoted, church, to teaching? I'm not saying, I mean, Ian brought up this morning, there's some really good preachers on 90.1. Please don't compare me to some of the preachers you hear on the radio, because you're going to be sadly disappointed, okay? But are you devoted to learning? Are you devoted to learning? We have to be, as a church, devoted to learning. I mean, we can get excited about so much other stuff in our lives, and we get so excited. When I said, what time is it, football season? I heard some, yes, all right. Do we get excited about Jesus like that? Or is the world crowding it out? No, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with football. There's not. I like football. I enjoy it, right? It's fun letting men pound each other with pads on. That's good stuff, right? But I love Jesus more than football, and I want to be more dedicated to the church than I am anything else. And the apostles' teaching. If you miss one Sunday a month, if you're gone one Sunday a month, you know what you've done? You're gone 25% of the time. To me, that's not acceptable. I wouldn't want to teach my kids that it was okay to be gone 25 or 50% of the time. I'm setting them up for failure. I want them to be devoted, so I have to be devoted. And the early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching, and nothing was going to get in the way of that. Second thing here, extremely important, and I'm trying to get better about us doing this, okay, is fellowship. Fellowship. Second thing is fellowship. How many of you ever remember the old TV show Mama's Family? How many of you remember that? All right, the son's name was Vinton, and Vinton one day was telling his mom that you don't need to go to church to get to heaven. And Mama, in a great way, responds, you don't need a parachute to jump out of a plane either, but it certainly helps. Now that's funny, but there can be a trap in there too. And that trap could be that you start to think that going to church and going to a building would get you into heaven. And then you're just going through rituals, and that's not true. Biblically, going to church or fellowshipping is being with other Christians and talking about Jesus. It's getting to know one another. It's developing relationships. That's what biblically is. This building is not the church. When we build a new building, that's not going to be the church. Me and you are the church. You know why we added 2 welcoming songs? So that I could do my best to get around to everybody in this church and tell them good morning. And try to learn their names and fellowship with them and get to know them. And if someday, if we have 400 people and we have to have 3 songs, we'll have 3 songs. And we'll just get out at 11:30. But we have to maintain fellowship with one another and getting to know one another and talking about God with one another. Fellowship lies at the heart of what makes the church. Why is that? Because we live in a world that's hostile to God. We live in a world that is hostile to the church.
We need fellowship with one another. We have to have those relationships. There's people within this church, if I haven't talked to them in a few days, I start getting withdrawals. I'm like, literally, I'm calling them going, man, I've missed you. Alan Greenfield back there, if he doesn't call me at least once a week at 6:30 in the morning when he's done with his daily devotion, I'm wondering what's going on. Alan will call me and say, 6:30 in the morning, what are you doing? Nothing, man, how are you? Let's talk about church, right? And it's good stuff. Now, I'm usually up by 6:30, but if somebody wants me to call them at 6:30, I will, okay? But we have to have that fellowship. You have to be there with one another. We have to have that. Or we get down. If you have a troubled marriage, church is where other believers can give you encouragement, give you advice, be there for you. If you've lost your job, the church is a group that can help you find a job, help you get through that time in your life, assist you, help you. You know, we pray with each other, we cry with each other, we laugh with each other. We're there for one another. Now let me ask you, are you fellowshipping here today? Did you fellowship here today? You know, we're getting a lot of new members. This is something else we're going to start doing. I had somebody volunteer this week. I thought it was a great idea. They called me. They're sick this morning. I want you to pray for them. But Josh and Mandy, Josh has a horrible work schedule. But Josh said, hey, I want to help you with something. When we have new visitors come and they fill out the new visitor cards, because he's off during the week and has to work weekends, he said, I want to start going and seeing those people and welcoming them on behalf of the church. And I said, that's a great idea. And Mandy said, hey, I want to start making some welcome baskets for when people just visit the church, have a welcome packet that we give them. And then when someone joins the church, I want to give them a welcome basket with stuff about the church and some food and stuff. And don't start joining again just for a welcome basket, okay? but they want to do that. And I think that's a great idea because we want to make sure that we let people know that we love them and we care for them and we're there for them. And as we grow, guys, we have to be intentional about this. That means if you're a shy person and you're normally in your pew or your seat during the welcoming song, you have to be intentional and get out of your seat and walk around. I challenged our elders this morning, guys, let's be intentional about during those welcoming songs that we go welcome people and we fellowship with them. We make sure that they know that they're loved. So question time. We're going to have a question at each one of the ends of these. How committed are you to fellowshipping with other believers in Christ? I mean, just be honest with yourself. Are you here when the doors are open to fellowship with other believers? Is that who you want to be around? Do you want to be around other Christians? Or do you still want to be around another crowd or the rest of the world? We should want to be with each other because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We should want to be there. And listen, here's the thing. Satan will give us a million reasons in the world to stay away. He will give you every excuse in the book to stay away. I mean, legitimately, if you're legitimately sick, don't come to church and spread it, all right? But, I mean, there's times, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Do we have excuses or don't we? Are we excited about being here with other believers? Or do you come up with 100 ways? Listen to me, as we grow and we have to have more people serving, if you are not here, you are robbing the other members of this church of the gifts that you have. God gives every one of us certain gifts. There are certain gifts that I guarantee you I do not have. I just don't have them. I mean, if you ever take a spiritual gift survey, it's going to tell you what your gifts are. And when you aren't there, you're robbing the congregation, you're robbing God of the gifts and talents that he's given you. And you have to be there to use your gifts. You have to connect. You're robbing the congregation. And guys, we have to make it, I mentioned this a minute ago, we have to make it a point to teach this to our kids. I want my kids to know that their relationship with Christ and their relationship with the local church and other believers is more important than anything. That it's more important than anything. That is the most important thing to them. And listen, what happens when we do make a stand and we say, no, I'm not having practice on Wednesday night. I'm not going to have a game on Wednesday night. I'm not going to let that interfere. I'm not going to do a weekend baseball tournament. You know what's going to happen? Let me tell you what's going to happen. Just like what happened to the early church, they're going to start to persecute you. And they're going to say, well, they're just, that group there, they are radical. They are just radical, fanatical Christians. Amen. Can we not have some more churches and people that are really radically sold out for Christ? I mean, guys, I want my kids and I want this church to be known as being radical followers of Jesus. And that's what I want. And when the world says no, they're just too radical, that's good. That's good. We need radical followers of Christ. Do we make a stand on issues like that? Or do we just give in to the world's pressure? Do we give in? Fellowship is extremely important. We have to build the relationships. If we want to continue to grow the kingdom, we have to, and they have to be honest, true relationships. And this is how. The third thing, sharing of meals, the Lord's Supper. These two are combined here. There's two different points to be made. 1 Corinthians 11:24 through 29. So we come together, we're fellowshipping. Now we're going to partake in the Lord's. 1 Corinthians 11:24 through 29. We're going to partake in the Lord's Supper. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself." On a regular basis, listen to me, on a regular basis here, we partake of the Lord's Supper. On a regular basis, we should be remembering and talking about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We should be breaking bread and taking the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. First of October, we're scheduled to do it again. We do it once every quarter and on special occasions like Easter, Christmas Eve, candlelight service. On a regular basis, we should be breaking bread and remembering exactly what Jesus did for us. Partaking of the Lord's Supper is a reminder of what he did for you. The price that had to be paid, a high price that he suffered for you. It should be a time of reflection that we reflect on what Christ did and we reflect on our current lives and get sin out. And be willing to get that sin out and examining of our hearts. The Lord's Supper has to hold a high place amongst this church and the believers. And not only the part of taking of it, but of remembering and talking about what Jesus did for us. It has to be a center of what we do. Second thing here, Acts 2, 45 and 47. Let's go back and read that. Acts 2, 45 through 47. It says, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people." All right, so what were they doing? They were sharing with one another. If one of their brothers or sisters had a need, they were taking care of them. Now listen to me, this is a verse that can be completely taken. This is not socialism, okay? This is not socialism where we take from somebody, whether they want to give it or not, and distribute it. This is not socialism. This is love. This is God's love. This is where you see somebody in need, where you see a brother or sister in Christ has need, and you, who God has blessed you with a lot, and much is required, help them. You help them. And you don't do this for the whole world to see. You do it because you love them and you want to take care of them and help them. This is not socialism where I'm going to take from somebody regardless of how they feel and give. When Ian said his prayer before the offering, he said, "Lord, let us be cheerful givers." You know why? Because that's scriptural. Let us be cheerful when we help one another out, when we're there for one another. This is not socialism. Let me remind you at this point what 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says. "For even when we were here with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." I want to remind you of that. If you come to a body of believers and you want the body of believers to take care of you because you're lazy, don't use Acts chapter 2 as a reason for that, because it will not happen. And God will give us the discernment to figure that out real quick. All right, so this is not socialism. This is out of love that I see a brother or sister in need. God has blessed me. I can help them. I'm going to do it in a cheerful manner, not expecting anything back, but I'm doing it because I love them. And guys, the early church did that. They took care of one another. There wasn't a need. Everybody had enough. Now, maybe we didn't have all we wanted, but everyone had what they needed. And they took care of one another. Are we meeting the basic needs of fellow Christians? Do we take care of our fellow Christians in here? Hey, if we see somebody in need, we can't just look at them and say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Thanks. I mean, thanks for help. No, we need to help meet the need. And this isn't talking about people outside the church. This is talking about people in the church. These are fellow believers. How do we expect to minister to the outside world and reach the outside world if we don't even take care of one another in here? It has to start here. We have to show the love and take care of one another here. And I know what the reason is. Right off the bat, we start making excuses about that, and we go, well, there's just people wanting to take advantage or handouts, and they're going to be people that take care. Hey, God will deal with them, and God will give us discernment to see that. In the meantime, let's just do what we know we're supposed to do and help people, and help people. The fourth thing, that we're going to be done. If we think that we can do all of this on our own, with our own power and our own thoughts and our own goodwill, we are wrong. We're going to fail. We have to have prayer. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. We have to rely on God. We cannot do this on our own. We need outside help, and that outside help comes from the Lord. Everything that we do at Crossbridge should have prayer centered around it. It should be a constant prayer for God's guidance on our ministries, on our missions, on our finances, on our leaders, on our members, on one another. We should constantly be in prayer for one another and praying for each other. And so we can ask ourselves this question, is do we devote ourselves to prayer? See, they were devoted to it. They were all over it. They wanted to pray. They prayed. They were devoted to it. I'm not talking about the church as a whole. I'm talking about you right now. Are you devoted to prayer? Because you make up the church. Do you have a daily time where you spend alone with God praying? As a church, one of the best ideas that we had was when we start doing this thing in Niangua, what did we say? We have to have prayer about it. So we spent a whole day over in Niangua praying about the event, praying about the people that we're going to try to reach for the Lord. Well, you know, churches can have major decisions on things and have major things that they need to decide, but they never pray about it. Or we can have a revival and never pray about the revival and then expect God's going to work in it. We have to spend time in prayer about what he wants us to do. We have to. We have to spend time in prayer. So in closing this morning, questions I want you to ask yourself. When we look at these basic concepts of what the church did to grow the kingdom and how to reach people, are you devoted? Are you devoted to these things? Are you devoted to apostles' teaching? Are you devoted to your Sunday school classes? Are you devoted to reading God's word? Are you devoted to grow in Christ? Listen to me. It's not always, and this isn't about I'm going to be devoted to Jeff or I'm going to be devoted to Ian. This is about am I devoted to God's word? This isn't an individual thing. Am I devoted to God's word? Am I devoted to learning? I mean, how much do you read God's word? How much do you want to grow in Christ? That has to be the most important thing. It has to be the most important thing. Are you devoted to fellowship? Is it the most important thing that you hang out with other believers in Christ? Guys, I'm telling you, when I decided that I'm going to sell out for Jesus and I'm going to do whatever it took, the people that I hung out with just started changing. They're just different. I don't hang out with the certain people I used to hang out with before I was a Christian. I hang out with other brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, when I started here, if you had told me in high school that me and Ian would be serving as elders together, I'd have laughed. Oh, I'd have laughed, right? No way, but God does it. Now, these elders here, they're my friends. They're my brothers in Christ. I call them and I talk to them. Those are the people that I want to hang out with. I don't hang out with people who aren't Christians anymore unless I'm evangelizing. Right? Am I devoted to fellowship? Am I devoted to being here? Does my family know that this is the most important thing? Am I devoted to sharing with what God has blessed me with? And we could go into a whole nother sermon on giving. We don't need to. You know, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you know whether you're devoted to giving and sharing what God's blessed you with or not. You know that. Are you devoted? And are we devoted to prayer? Do we pray? Do we get down on our knees? Guys, I want to ask you the question this morning is, are you doing your part? Because I'm telling you, no one person in this room can grow the kingdom by themselves. There's no one person in here that can do it. There's no one person in here that God has used to grow the church from 40 to over 150 that we have now. No one person's done that. It's a collective group of people that have said, we're going to be devoted and sold out to the Lord. No church is one person. No church is one group of people. It's fellow believers all examining themselves and saying, am I sold out for Christ? Am I sold out? Or are there things that are holding me back? And if there's things that's holding you back this morning, I'm going to tell you, get rid of them. Get them out of your life. Start serving and being devoted to Him. We're going to be talking about some warnings of the church over the next coming weeks about what we have to watch out for. Because Satan, I'm telling you, guys, we're not the fastest growing Baptist church in Webster County for a reason. All right? It's not, Satan is going to be after us. Satan is going to be after us. And I'm telling you, we have to be on guard. And it all starts with each individual person saying, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to help. I'm going to help with this ministry. I'm going to help with going and visiting people. I'm going to help with nursery. I'm going to help with teaching the kids how to be Christians. I'm going to do one-on-one discipleship. I'm going to be a part of that. I'm going to jump in. It's not just about Sunday morning. It's about through the week. Who am I fellowshipping with? I want to ask you to stand this morning. We're going to have an invitation. If you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Christ, that's where it all has to start. It all ties in to what we talked about the Lord's Supper, remembering what Jesus did for you. If you're here this morning, you're not a follower of Christ, and you have that knowledge, and you understand the cost, and you want to make that profession, come, and I'll pray with you. You can do that. If you're here this morning, you've been attending a while. Maybe you've been attending a while, and you need to join this local body of believers in service. I'm telling you, if you join our church, it's about service. It just is. And if you're not ready for that, don't join, okay? Because that's what it's about. It's about serving the kingdom and using the gifts that God's given you. If you're a Christian, you've been a Christian a long time, and you've never trained somebody how to be a follower of Christ, you need to get busy doing that. There's things that we can do. Maybe you need to pray about that. I want you to come. We're going to have an invitation. Bow your heads. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, I thank you for your word that you give us in Acts chapter 2, 42. Father, you give us how to grow the kingdom as a local body of believers and what we need to be devoted to and what we need to do, Father. I thank you for that. I thank you for those verses that we can look at and we can ask ourselves tough questions and we can strive to follow you better, Father. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are right out here in front of me. I thank you, Father, that they love me and forgive me in spite of my failures and shortcomings, Father, and I want to love them in spite of theirs. Lord, we're a family here, and Lord, I ask that you keep adding to this body, and we keep growing the kingdom, and we keep bringing people to the knowledge of you, Father. You save them, and we're going to teach them, Father. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because Oh.
We do. I'm gonna close this in prayer. We do want you to pray for us. We're gonna be meeting with Virgil Wednesday night and discussing salvation with him in Christ. And so I'm excited to get to do that. We have baptism today. We have two baptisms that we're gonna be doing at the river down A Highway. It'll probably be 15 minutes or so after the end of service before I head out there. So give me a little bit of time, mingle around, fellowship with one another. Chief fans, don't worry about getting home at noon. You're going to see a loss today anyway, okay? So, listen to the murmurs. Hey, I love you guys. Pray for me, okay? Hey, I love you guys. I love this church. Pray for what we have going. Pray for the people here. But I love you guys. Max Hartman, would you close us in prayer, sir?